This is Al Curley. My residence is at 117 Maple Street, Clarksville, Michigan. And I have lived at this address since September 6, 1929. My wife and I purchased this home about 1 month before the stock market crash in October 1929. The stock market crash signaled the beginning of the Great Depression of the 30s. The value of my home and other real estate dropped about 50% because I had made a substantial down payment. I could not realize any profit by discontinuing the contract. At the time we moved to this address in Parchment, the street was called Harry Street, and as I remember, it was named after Harry Sebring, who at that time was caretaker at the community house and an all-around handyman for Mr. Kindleberger. My first contact with the community of Parchment was in 1926 when I became an employee of the Kalamazoo Vegetable Parchment Company. On July 5th, following my last game of professional baseball in the Michigan Ontario League with the Kalamazoo team. Ben Leipzig, then manager of the Kalamazoo Vegetable Parchment baseball team, was at that last professional game and asked me if I would like to go to work at the paper mill and become its regular catcher. I agreed to do it and reported to the employment office the next morning, hired by Bob Walker and put to work in the wax production department on a shift job, helping as a wax machine helper. The team was forced to forfeit all the games that I played in for the remaining of that season because of my professional status. There was a rule in the Kalamazoo Recreation League that did not allow pro ball players to participate in the City League games during the same season that they had played pro ball. However, the KVP team, later known as KVP, won every game by actual score that I played in that season. Everyone was happy because they hadn't been winning anyway. From then on, Kalamazoo Vegetable Parchment Company had a winning team, mainly because of the pitching of Hod Finner, who had previously refused to pitch because he wasn't happy with the catcher they had then. From then on, he started pitching for real. I think he was the best pitcher ever developed in this area. He had several invitations to try out with major league teams. One of them, the Chicago Cubs, which he agreed to try out. I accompanied him on that trip, and they were happy with his ability and made him an offer. He later turned down the offer because his wife did not want him to get involved in pro baseball. He could have made it very easily. At the time I was employed at Kalamazoo Vegetable Parchment Company, Mr. Kindleberger was president of the company and a real rabid baseball fan. And he was the one that promoted the baseball team and was willing to hire players to develop a good team. One of the instances that I remember is I was playing baseball on Sundays, and Mr. Kendallberger asked me not to play baseball on Sundays because he was opposed to anything like that on Sunday. But I told him that I could play if I wanted to, so anyway, about a week later, I played at Ramona Park for the Ramona Park team, and Mr. Kendallberger heard about it, and one day he met me in the mill and told me to turn my uniform in. So at that time, Big Bo Boldman was managing the team, and I went to him and explained to him that Mr. Kendallberger decided that I couldn't play baseball for the KVP team any longer, turned my uniform in. Anyway, Big Bo went to Mr. Kendallberger, and I don't know just how they solved the problem, but anyway, I was back playing. Going back to the time that I played professional baseball with the Kalamazoo team, I would like to mention a man that I played with at that time, Wild Bill Hallahan. He was a spitball pitcher and went directly from the Kalamazoo team to the St. Louis Cardinals and became a real top-flight pitcher, and had a long career as a pitcher. I used to warm him up, and while warming him up, I wore my mask and chest protector and shin guards, because throwing a spitball, no one knows where it's going, including the pitcher, and I didn't know. Sometimes I could catch the ball, sometimes I couldn't. But it was quite a problem, so just to protect myself, I wore all that equipment. Just recently, at the opening of a World Series game this past year, 1974, on television, I saw Wild Bill Hallahan throw off the first pitch for the game. Recalling some of the other instances that happened while I was playing baseball with the Kalamazoo Vegetable Parchment Company, one of them, a 17-inning game, this was a championship game played at Western Michigan University Field, then it was Western Michigan College. This game was between the Kalamazoo Stove Company and Kalamazoo Vegetable Parchment Company. It happened 3 days after I was married. At the same time, Bob Van Ho, Bob Black rather, was married 2 days before I was. Everybody in the stands knew about that, but no one knew that I had just got married. So every time Bob made any kind of a misplay, why, he really got razzed. But anyway, nobody knew anything about me, and I had already made a couple of boo-boos. Did I get that going? This game went 17 innings, and Norm Rice pitched the whole game, and so did the opposing pitcher, Len Ramsdell, which is really unusual in a game that long. We did have a couple of backup pitchers, but Norm was going strong the whole route, so nothing to do but leave him in there, and he did a real good job. Kalamazoo Vegetable Parchment team won this game. I think the score was 1-0. I'm not real sure of that. I'd like to mention the other players on this particular team. Earl Boldman was the manager, and Gerald Weed was the equipment manager, and his son was the bat boy at that time. Heinie Dobb was an outfielder, along with Ed Marantat and Star Cook, and Bob and Ho, who was a pitcher, substituted in the outfield part of the time. Other members were Allie Conrad on first base, Les Smith on second base, Glenn Ryder at shortstop, and Bob Black at third base. Hod Finner also was a pitcher on that team. Chuck Kimmelberger was also a catcher. He and I alternated catching, and Fritz Black was also a pitcher on this team. The Kelms and Vegetable Parchment team continued to be a winner for 3 or 4 years, having won city championship each year, and this included the various leagues that were organized by the city, and would have a playoff at the end of the year and establish a city champion. During this time, following this particular game, a rivalry developed between the Sutherland Paper Company team and Kalamazoo Vegetable Parchment team. And it was interesting to note that Mr. Lou Sutherland, president of the Sutherland Paper Company, and Mr. Kimmelberger, president of the Kalamazoo Vegetable Parchment Company, would sit together at these games. And I often wondered what they discussed. And at one time, I injured my finger and couldn't play in a particular game, and I sat there in that location. And they indulged in some pretty fancy arguments about each of their teams. About the time I came to work at Kelms and Vegetable Parchment Company, history sort of reflects that period was the Roaring Twenties. And at that time, prohibition was in effect, and there were a good many speakeasies, bootleggers, and hijackings during the bootleg business. This is also the era when the Charleston dance was popular. This time, Parchment had a shopping center that nowhere near compared to the shopping centers that we have today, but there was an A&P grocery store managed by Joe Green, and an independent grocery store operated by Phillips and Ralston. Mr. Ralston's picture appeared on a lot of KVP advertising for meat wrappers. And we had a drugstore operated by Mr. Schreiner, and a gasoline station operated by the Foster brothers across the street from the drugstore. There was also another store that predated these stores and was located south of the mill. It was operated by Mr. Watson. I believe it was started around 1918 or 19. Some of the community activities that went on in the community were centered around the community house, which was built prior to my coming to Parchment around 1922 or 23, and each time that there was a community affair, why it would take place in the community house, and it usually attracted a full house. The company used it as a place to hold the Christmas parties, and these were jammed full each Christmas. A good many other activities took place there, including dinners and all sorts of community affairs. This community house served the community in a great many cases. It served as a church, and it also operated as a cafeteria during the week. And many of the employees of the company ate their meals there. Mr. Kettleberger's enthusiasm for the community inspired him to build a park complete with a rock garden, tennis courts, also included a baseball field. This baseball field was laid out according to regulations of the major leagues in the right direction, and was a real good baseball diamond, the best one in this area. And the seating capacity probably was around 500, but there were a good many times that at these games would attract between 5,000 and 10,000 spectators. And during one of those games where all those people attended, every street in Parchment was jammed. You couldn't find a parking place. Most of the kids in the immediate neighborhood surrounding the Kettleberger Park had spent a lot of time, including my two girls. They were practically raised in the park. They loved it so much. And even today, the little children spend quite a bit of their time there. One of the conditions that have changed in Parchment is the condition of the Kalamazoo River. When I first came to work at Kalamazoo Vegetable Parchment Company, the river was the chief source of water used in processing paper, which amounted to something between 30 and 40,000 gallons per ton of paper. Prior to, about 15 years prior to my coming to work at Parchment, I can remember the Kalamazoo River would freeze over solid so that you could skate on it and walk any place on the river, but today it no longer freezes over because of the industrial use, including several paper mills and the city of Kalamazoo, which contributes so much heat that the river just can't freeze over anymore. Around 1914, the Kalamazoo River contained a good many species of fish, including bass, bluegills, and even trout. It was considered one of the best fishing rivers in the state. But with the advent of contamination, that completely disappeared. It no longer maintains fish, at least not those species anymore. When I came to Parchment in 1929, most of the homes had septic tanks. However, at that time, a central sewer system had already been installed, and with the provision that if any failure occurred in the septic tank, that the home would have to connect to the sewer system. My only connections with politics were on two occasions, one in 1931 and again in 1955. 1931, I met a school teacher at Kalamazoo Central High School while I was attending a class, night school class. Anyway, he suggested that we get together and revive the Democratic Party in Kalamazoo County. At that time, I did not have any political affiliations, and this was a little strange to me, but between the two of us, we rounded up a number of old-time Democrats and put together a slate of contestants for every office in Kalamazoo County on the Democratic Party. And during the 1932 elections, Franklin D. Roosevelt was running for president of the United States, and it became a landslide, and all of the nominees that were on the Kalamazoo County ballots were elected because of that. The village of Parchment at that time was a part of the Kalamazoo Township, and of course the officers in Kalamazoo Township were elected as a part of the township from Parchment. One of the nominees at this election was Charlie Struble had agreed to run for sheriff in Kalamazoo County and was elected. The next election for sheriff, Charlie Struble switched from the Democratic Party to the Republican Party and ran successfully two or three other times and won on the Republican Party. This also happened to several other candidates who were elected to office in 1932. They switched to the Republican Party and continued to win their office on the Republican ticket. I came awfully close to being on the ballot for Kalamazoo Township Supervisor that year. I had agreed to have my name on the ballot if we could not find someone else to take the office. And on the very last day for filing, we found a man, Mr. Brenner, who agreed to run, and consequently he did win in that landslide. That was a close call. That was my only connection with politics until the city of Kalamazoo started a drive to annex all the areas that were contiguous to the city of Kalamazoo. This was in 1955. In order to make the city of Parchment contiguous with the city of Kalamazoo, the Kalamazoo Vegetable Parchment Company sold a strip of land owned by the company to the city of Kalamazoo. This was along Riverview Drive at Mossel Avenue. At this time, the Parchment League, Parchment Citizens League, was formed at that time and was opposed to annexation. I became a member of the steering committee along with Tom Cruise, Vic Smith, Andy Green, Sam Poole, Art Fitzgerald, Helen Bowman, Wes Smith, and Art Baker. Art Fitzgerald was on the Parchment City Commission at that time and was the only member opposed to annexation. Parchment Festival was arranged that fall to raise money to help defray expenses for the league in its opposition to the annexation. Funds left over from the Parchment Citizens League has contributed to the city of Parchment to build a welcome to Parchment sign at the south entrance of the city of Parchment. And this was completed in the last 4 or 5 years, so that it does give a nice approach to the city of Parchment.